Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, ka'chava.com, code NEWS. From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Ka'Chava, ka'chava.com, and use code NEWS.
Welcome, everybody, today to our space where we'll be talking about the future of autonomous trucking, an area where AI meets the real economy. And today we are sponsored by Plus AI. A little bit of a forward before we dive in. Freight kind of underpins almost everything we buy, yet the industry still faces some rising costs, driver shortages, and efficiency limits that haven't really moved much in decades. Autonomous technology is now being tested on real highways, moving real freight and getting closer to commercial reality. So today we'll be digging into what's working, what's still kind of hard, and what the road ahead actually looks like. To that end, I'm joined by 2 co-founders of Plus AI to walk through where they see autonomous trucking headed next. First off, joining us is David Liu, the CEO and co-founder of Plus AI, with a background that blends deep technical training and startup experience, including his PhD in electrical engineering from Stanford. He leads the company's strategy and commercialization efforts as autonomous trucking moves forward towards scale. Welcome. Thanks for sponsoring and joining us, David.
Thank you for having us, Nicholas.
Next, we have also Tim Daly, the chief architect and co-founder of Plus AI, bringing more than 2 decades of experience in AI and large-scale systems. He leads the technical development of Plus AI's autonomy platform, and he's focused on making real-world, highway-ready, self-driving technology work reliably. Welcome, and also thank you for coming, Tim.
Hey, thanks a bunch. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well. And again, sorry for the technical issues as we started up here, but I want to dive right in. And either David or Tim, whichever of you feel froggy and wants to jump on the mic for us today, can you give us a little bit of a backdrop to start on what Plus AI is and kind of what ends you're working toward?
Sure, happy to take a start on that. So we founded Plus AI back in 2016. So it's about 10 years ago, with a mission to apply AI technology to transform how transportation is done. We see transportation logistics to be one of the most crucial, important industry. We have, most of the things that we consume and use today, about 70% of all goods are moved by heavy trucks. And the heavy trucking industry is facing a lot of challenges, and the self-driving technology will make a profound impact on making transportation safer and more efficient.
Thank you, David. So kind of to that end, what would you say truly differentiates Plus AI from other trucking companies in the space when you kind of strip away marketing language in general? What sets Plus AI aside?
What really differentiates us is that on technology, we have something that works. And on distribution commercialization, we've secured some of the largest global truck manufacturers to help us deploy the technology onto, you know, eventually tens of thousands and more trucks, and to have a truly transformed impact on the industry. And also we have a highly capital efficient model to really scale the deployment of our technology. So I think on those three fronts, technology, distribution, as well as our business model, we stand out as a leader in the autonomous trucking industry.
Love to hear it, David. So actually, I want to pivot here real quick to you, Tim. One of the general concerns people tend to have in this sector, and with all autonomous driving and automated systems like this, is that of safety. Can you kind of walk us through some of the safety architecture, like sensor redundancy, braking systems, any fallback mechanisms that Plus AI kind of implements to maintain that safety?
Yeah, for sure. You have to be patient with me. It's early on programmer time.
I can relate entirely.
So the number one thing I think that safety is about having a structured safety case. And basically you slice and dice the world into a bunch of different dimensions, and you say, okay, what if it's raining and it's dense traffic, and you know, and I have a fault in one of my sensors, and so on and so on, and you. Those dimensions then that they form little buckets you have to fill with evidence so that you know that your system will be safe, right? And you can get that evidence from driving out on the road, also from running simulations, and sometimes from a structured argument. So that's where we get our safety case ready, this metric. And that's the overarching strategy to make the system safe. But some of the things that we do, I think, better than others in our industry include the way we do sensing. So we make sure that we always have triple coverage. So we have imaging radar, we have FMCW LiDAR, so that's a LiDAR that gets velocity information, not just position information, as well as the cameras all the way around the truck. So we have, you know, if you look at, you know, why Tesla maybe faces some headwinds with FSD, part of it is that, you know, strict camera only approach just makes it way harder. And we want to have a big safety margin. So we invest a little more in sensing. And another thing that we've done to make our system the safest autonomous trucking system is we've got the best data set. So we, since the beginning of the company, we knew that the data set would differentiate us. So we've been careful to make sure that people use our trucks commercially. We've had a huge deployment in Amazon's fleet, for example, and they've been using our trucks commercially for years. We've collected over 7 million miles of real data. We've got data from Australia, Japan, all over Europe, all kinds of weather, stuff that the other companies don't have. And that lets us test our system in more extreme conditions, even than it's meant to operate in, which helps make it safe, too.
You've kind of tested the whole shebang there then, kind of every weather condition, the different geographies as well. I know you mentioned Australia. Is there any other kind of road testing that you guys have planned out to further stress test that?
Well, we do also closed course testing. So some of it is kind of fun. I don't know if you saw it, but we did with Red Bull, we did a stunt where a guy jumps through open-sided trailers as two of our autonomous trucks cross in front of each other.
Oh, I love that.
Pretty cool.
That's
yeah, because the autonomy system was the only way to make it safe enough to do that. He had less than a 1 second window for him to jump through. More seriously, what we'll do is go out to a closed course and we do fault injection. So we actually wire up a bunch of stuff in the truck that allows us to artificially break parts of it. So we'll have a truck with nobody in it, running in loops on a closed course, and say, okay, now we're going to set fire to the main computer, right? We're going to blind you, no front cameras, and the truck has to safely stop. So it's you just proving to yourself that that's going to work if it ever comes up.
I do like to hear that, because one of the concerns also that I've read a lot about, again, I'm pretty ignorant to the sector as a whole, so I'm really happy to have you both here giving your expert kind of feedback on what you're working on. But one of those concerns is, you know, what happens if the truck's blinded? What happens if the computer's compromised?
Do you guys have like security safety measures for like any bugs that might be introduced into the sector at all? Things like that from more of a SciSec safety perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, cybersecurity is very important. You wouldn't want some bad actor, you know, you don't need like Kim Jong-un getting control of all the autonomous trucks in America. That would be bad news, right? So we have state-of-the-art security for the communications with the trucks. But the most important thing is that the truck itself has to be safe no matter what happens, right? So if there's some solar storm and all communications go out and the GPS is totally broken, the truck has to at least come to a stop. If the truck catches fire, it has to at least come to a stop. So we make sure that no matter what happens, it fails safe. And safe ideally is to pull off onto a frontage road. So that's what we aim for. But if it's too broken for that, it's at least going to stop on the side of the road.
Kind of more from the business perspective here, David, you guys released an article this morning, and we were talking a little bit beforehand that PlusAI recently expanded its global partnership with the Traton Group, which includes up to $25 million in joint R&D funding and kind of pushing deeper integration across Traton's global truck brands. And so my question to you and for PlusAI, what does this partnership really enable you guys at PlusAI to do that may have been difficult prior to the partnership? And how important is OEM commitment like this in accelerating real-world commercialization for you guys?
Sure. So first of all, you know, Traton Group as a whole is one of the top three largest truck manufacturers in the world. It's actually Volkswagen's commercial trucking group. Includes brands like Scania out in Sweden, MAN in Germany, as well as Navistar International here in the U.S. So it's one of the largest truck manufacturers. They make over 270,000 trucks and sell those on an annual basis. So we've been working with Traton for years. They've invested hundreds of millions of dollars of R&D dollar developing autonomous driving technology and autonomous trucks over the past few years. We've been working with them developing the self-driving trucks, the product to be volume produced in the coming quarters, coming years. This expansion of our partnership is in addition on top of the program we've been working with them for years now. As we're going public soon in the coming weeks, it is a reaffirmation of our partnership and aligning further on roadmap to launch autonomous trucks shortly in the coming quarters. OEM is really, really important to scale the deployment of autonomous driving technology. All of the millions of trucks here running in the United States as well as in Europe are produced by the top four OEM manufacturers, the truck manufacturers. So including the Traton Group, Daimler, Volvo, and Packard. So having the OEM support.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka-Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just two scoops of Ka-Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just two scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at kachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka-Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
And the distribution and to factory build and install our virtual driver software on those trucks is the only way to scalably deploy autonomous driving technology onto trucks. That's why it is crucial for us to have this partnership Among other partnerships that we have struck with Iveco Group out in Europe, as well as Hyundai Commercial Group. This is our way of really commercializing the technology, the self-driving technology we have made into product. And we're very much looking forward to widely deploy our technology in the coming quarters. Yeah, so we're partnered with Traton, Iveco Group, and as well as Hyundai Commercial Group. So the way the partnership works is we provide our virtual driver software to these truck manufacturers. They will pre-install this software onto the new trucks that they will factory build from their factory line. The OEMs, the truck manufacturers, are responsible of selling these integrated autonomous trucks to the fleet users. They will not only sell them, they'll also maintain them and service them. The fleet customers will then use these trucks and, you know, along with the provided virtual driver on these trucks to help them transfer goods. The fleet customers will pay the OEM for the truck as well as the virtual driver service. We get a software licensing as part of that virtual driver service fee.
And so ultimately, via these partnerships and your own production, how does Plus AI ultimately generate revenue? What does that economic model look like as deployments kind of scale up here going into the
Yeah, so the way we generate revenue is that we provide the software to enable these autonomous trucks, and then we get paid a software licensing fee for every mile of services that these truck operates on. So there are hundreds of billions of miles of transport provided by these heavy trucks on an annual basis in the US and Europe, respectively. And then for every mile, we'll be paid, you know, number of cents based on our long-term contract with OEMs.
And so kind of your, for lack of better verbiage, what's kind of Plus AI's long-term moat plans? Is that to kind of really maintain that focus on software and data, or will there be a lot more development in the future into deeper OEM relationships and more simulation?
Yeah, so our long-term moat is on technology. You know, obviously we have a leading set of AI native technology that simply works today. Right? So we'll continue to build up that moat. And that's a really data-driven moat. We have, you know, one of the broadest set of diverse data out there. And we'll continue to build up that data, and then, you know, through real-world driving as well as simulation synthetic data gathering. We also have a moat through our OEM partnerships. You know, this industry is heavily supported by a few large OEMs. They produce all of the trucks, and these are long-term relations between the OEMs and the fleet customers. You know, the service network alone provided by these OEMs took decades to build, right? And there's also warranty and trust that's built between the fleet customers and OEMs. And we've secured these distribution partnerships with the OEM so that every single autonomous trucks that they will produce in the coming years are going to have our software installed on it. So having that distribution channel secure is also a very, very important moat for us, and we'll continue to build deeper moat around that. And then the last one is, I think our business model, our ability to have a capital-light business model, scale our business, to have a software-centric model. We look at our role in the industry as an enabler for the logistic and trucking industry. You know, we provide the technology for the OEMs to produce a better and newer product, to have new revenue stream. And you know, we want to deliver on our promise to help them grow their business. And with our technology, we help fleets to operate their trucks more safely. We help them to gain, you know, efficiency. They can run their trucks at broader hours, as well as improve their asset utilization. You know, these trucks can be run, you know, 24/7. You know, it's not really constrained by the hours operation of the drivers. So, you know, our role is to help our partners and customers make more money. And so far, you know, we've been delivering on our promise, and then that's why we have these you know, partnerships that secure in the long run. And we want to continue to build up that.
And so kind of as, you know, another follow-up here, kind of based on those partnerships and the OEMs, why, I know you named some advantages there already, but why exactly does Plus AI choose that OEM-led factory integrated model instead of kind of operating your own freight network or retrofitting trucks after production? Are there, you know, other kind of more unseen advantages to that kind of model?
Yeah, so from a fleet customer point of view, you know, they would love to have, you know, a autonomous truck being provided to them. We've been doing pilots with them for years, right? So some of the largest fleets have been, you know, testing and trying out autonomous technology for years, including Amazon and many other large fleets. But they will only want to buy at volume from the OEMs because of the warranty, because of the service network that these OEMs provide. So the only approach to really scalably deploy and utilize the self-driving technology is through OEMs. And so that's one of the primary reasons that we chose this strategy, right? Because we're not just in the business for developing technology, we're also in the business actually applying the technology to transform, to improve how we do business, how we transport goods. And also, you know, in terms of the way to scale our business, having the OEM go through the OEM channel is the best way to scalably deploy the technology. You know, we have a very light capital use model, right? So our annual burn is, you know, for the 2025, it's less than $75 million. That's a fraction of other, you know, call it peer autonomous trucking companies in our space. And that's because, you know, we focus on developing the technology, developing the software, and then we work with, you know, others in the industry to deploy the and utilize the technology.
Thank you, David. So, Tim, I want to pick on you a little bit more about some of that testing. What do those, you know, difficult condition tests look like? Like when you're testing these systems in snow, heavy rain, fog, what does that kind of look like from the observer's perspective during this testing? And kind of how do you develop from there? What other types of testing do you plan to do to really drive home the safety of these systems?
That's a great question. You know, that's the kind of question we ask ourselves every day, actually. So the most common and I guess simplest to explain form of testing is you just take the truck from one of our, you know, distribution centers, put one of our test drivers in it, and he'll turn the truck on and watch it drive. And if it does anything that makes him feel uncomfortable, he can take over. He can grab the steering wheel. He can touch the brake or the throttle or hit the disengage button. And we train them to take over if they feel at all uncomfortable. Don't push it. And we bring all those takeovers back and we'll do the fancy industry term is a counterfactual simulation. We call it a what-if simulation. You say, what if he hadn't taken over? What would have happened, right? And so that way you make sure nothing unsafe ever actually happens. And the trade-off is you get a bunch of false positive takeovers and you have to see which ones could have really been an issue. Now that over-the-road driving, it's great, but it's hard to scale, right? It's expensive to drive a truck around for no reason. And that's one of the reasons we've tried to get the trucks into commercial deployment. So we have freight pilots going on right now, commercial freight. In Texas, we've almost always been doing something commercial with the trucks because when they get used for real, you know, people drive them in the worst weather. The truck gets beat up more. So that's more honest testing than, you know, some of the autonomous trucking companies, they baby the trucks a bit. But I think the most important type of testing we do is really the simulation on the back end, because that you can scale that just by spending a little more money on more computers. And in fact, that simulation is growing into our training platform for the future AI drivers. If there are techniques now, for example, there's one called self-play, where you can learn a planning model fully in the simulator with no ground truth, with no example trajectories. It just, you run a simulator that runs on the GPU and can do like 4 million drives in a second. And the thing, you make it so all the vehicles on the road are using the same planning model, and it just learns from crashing into itself, basically. And eventually it becomes, through this like evolutionary pathway, a superhuman driver. So we've got that working. And it's great because it unlocks, you know, one of the problems that you have, which is how do you find a driver that's good enough to teach a superhuman driver, right? But when you can learn it fully in simulation, you can get to that superhuman level. We also do a lot of hardware testing, as I mentioned.
I think we're getting a little echo from your microphone, David. Perfect. Thank you so much. And just to kind of keep diving down that, and I just wanted to say the kind of emergency pilot being able to push pause or stop the truck, et cetera, during this testing, it just reminds me of, you know, the school for driving that, you know, like 14-year-olds in the States, for example, tend to do in most states, where they have the driving proctor there to slam on a passenger side brake if they start doing something wonky. And so I'm picturing like...
From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.
A robot pilot just being controlled. But what does kind of the international expansion plans work like that with Plus AI? Like how do you plan to expand internationally with more of this testing, with getting more autonomous freight involved, and kind of which regions make the most sense early on for that?
Yeah, so transportation obviously is a global business. You know, US is about a quarter of the global market, and Europe is another quarter, and then the rest of the world make up the $4 trillion heavy trucking market. So because of our OEM partnerships, many of these OEMs are global in nature. For instance, you know, Traton is in Sweden and in Germany, as well as in the US. And Iveco is primarily European and South America based. And Hyundai is an Asian truck manufacturer. We have been doing testing and piloting in four continents so far, in North America, in Europe, Australia, as well as in Japan. So through those testing, you know, we've gathered a lot of data. So our virtual driver is built on those data, so it's capable of dealing with situations in all these diverse, you know, geographic areas with their local traffic laws and all that. So it's a super, super intelligent driver. And because of that, you know, we're, you know, it enable us to expand internationally with fair ease. So recently we've announced a partnership together with Iveco to start doing a 3-year pilot program with a Spanish fleet called CESE, looking at piloting L4 trucking in Spain in the coming years. We've also recently announced a partnership with Mitsui. It's a large Japanese trading house that has lots of logistics holding globally. So we're partnered with Mitsui to take the autonomous driving technology to Japan, as well as many of the other regions they have business in. So those are some of our near-term expansion plan is looking at you know, go into these attractive international markets where our partners already having a business in, and there's sufficient demand in those regions.
So kind of piggyback off the kind of demand, I know there's also, I'm sure, a lot of regulatory hoops to jump through for something like this. So what does the current regulatory landscape really look like for autonomous trucking? And what really needs to change before large-scale commercial operations are possible?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, for the next 3 to 5 years, we actually don't need any regulatory changes to operate driverless trucks in the U.S. and Europe, you know, these expansion areas. So most of the states in the U.S. Already have regulation in place to allow and support driverless truck operations. So for instance, in Texas and most of Sunbelt states, that's where, you know, we've been doing commercial trials and we're looking at start running driverless trucking operations in the coming quarters. It's the same situation in Europe. Many of the major countries in Europe also support driverless trucking operations, including Germany and Sweden and Spain and so on and so forth. So from a regulation point of view, you know, we are already there in terms of you know, deploying the self-driving technology into the trucking market. Now, obviously, more can be done to spur the growth of driverless trucking, right? So for instance, you know, in the US, people are looking at having a federal framework to help regulate, you know, cross state line, you know, interstate, you know, transportation. You know, if you were to run, you know, driverless trucks across state line, right now it's regulated on a state by state level. So if there's a, you know, federal framework, that'll smooth out a lot of these, things in terms of getting the driverless trucks on the roads.
And so I kind of want to pivot a little bit here to, you know, the general public markets and kind of the capital aspect of something like this. Given your technology, your partnerships, especially these new ones that you've discussed coming in, the new one today with Tradon, why pursue your public listing at a valuation that does kind of seem discounted relative to peers and competitors like Aurora and Kodiak?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, we believe that the market will eventually set the right valuation for us. We design a attractive entry point for investors to really take part in this, you know, growth of this transformative autonomous vehicle market. You know, our partner, Churchill Capital, has had experience of supporting really innovative company to go public. So their prior example is, you know, in the nuclear microgenerator space, you know, they took a company called Oklo public at a similar valuation to us. And now that company is, you know, grown to be a $14 billion in valuation. So we believe, you know, the market will eventually set the right valuation for us. And then the way we design the transaction is to provide the public investor a very, very attractive entry point to take part in our future growth.
So initial valuation aside, I guess one thing I'm really curious about too is kind of what the scale of capital is required to reach full commercial deployment. What does that path to, say, cash flow positivity look like for Plus AI moving forward?
Yes, yeah, so our business model is a very capital light model. It allows us to operate a software SaaS-like business model with no direct vehicle capex as we transition from R&D phase into full production, full commercialization phase. So we'll need less than $200 million to reach commercial deployment and about $300 million to break even. And you know, we're looking at, you know, transforming a $1 trillion market. So it's a very, very capital efficient way to make a huge impact in the huge market.
And so you plan to go public via Churchill Capital Corp 9, if I'm not mistaken, ticker CCIX. After going public, should investors expect additional capital raises after the fact? And how should they kind of think about potential dilution over time?
Yeah, through this go public transaction, we expect to raise a few hundred million dollars in capital. And this capital would enable us to reach commercial launch without needing to raise any additional capital.
Good to hear. I think that's a good point to make that should make investors a little bit more comfortable, especially looking forward with something that feels pretty new. And so for Plus AI specifically, what kind of milestones or achievements matter most in driving valuation over the next, say, 12 to 24 months? What is the main focus for that from you guys?
So for this year, we're really focused on commercial readiness. We have the product ready. So it is about integrating and, you know, testing with our commercial customers on the fleet side, you know, along with our OEM partners. So 2026, it will be all about improving our metrics, improving the scale of our commercial routes, adding on additional pilot runs, and to get to commercial readiness. We're also doing development work with our OEM partners to make sure that we're ready to make the hardware production commercially. And then 2027 will be all about commercial launch. Those are some. So for this year, the important metrics or milestones is about the scale of our commercial trial. It's about our metrics, which we will be providing update on a quarterly basis. And toward the end of the year, we're looking at our metrics to be able to achieve a commercial launch threshold. And then in 27, we're looking at starting to do commercial deployment along with OEM partners.
Beautiful to hear. So kind of over the long run, to that end, let's say we get past these introductory phases, we reach this full deployment of the autonomy software, what should investors realistically expect in terms of, say, gross margins for an autonomy software platform?
So we operate a pretty pure play SaaS business, right? So we provide the software to the OEMs to install on their trucks, and then we collect software licensing for every mile of operation. And we have no CapEx. So we would expect our margin structure to be very much like a SaaS business with over 85% in gross margin.
Now that is definitely a pretty number from my point of view, for sure. And I know you mentioned that you have myriad partnerships on this, signed agreements to move forward with adoption. Do you guys also have long-term pilots set up and early revenue that might provide visibility into future adoption, kind of as you work toward that full launch that you mentioned in 2027?
So our OEM partnerships are all long-term commercial agreements. So we have, very long-term business plan or channel already set. Now we're working closely with our OEM partners to integration, testing, and validation to prepare for serious production in 27. And along with our OEM partners, we are working with almost all of their top fleet customers on commercial trials, right? So there is no shortage of demand for autonomous trucks coming from fleets, because simply it is transformative. This is the biggest innovation since the invention of diesel engine for the transportation industry. So every fleet wants to have the autonomous truck in their fleet and see how this would impact their business fundamentally. Our focus is on producing these autonomous trucks so that they can operate safely and productively for the customers.
Thank you, David. And kind of to that end, I guess one question that I personally have, I grew up with, you know, a lot of uncles that were truckers. My grandfather before he passed was well over 2 million miles driven. What does it look like for the Plus AI autonomy? Say you mentioned the 24/7 ability, you know, nonstop, straight line. You don't have to worry as much about sleep time for truckers, things like that. When it comes to point of delivery, would something like that be manually piloted at the delivery space? Or is this something that is really a goal for Plus AI as well, to be able to deliver, locate, park, everything?
Yeah, I think with autonomous driving technology, the entire transportation infrastructure, how it operates, will be different in the coming decades, right? Think of you know, textile industry, for instance, our typical factory, right? So versus 100 years ago, it's very labor intensive. And now if you look at modern day factory, it's very productive, it's highly automated. And the type of jobs you have in the modern day factory are much better than, you know, it's different, but they're much higher quality than what it was 100 years ago. I think same thing is going to happen to the transportation industry, where those dangerous and high labor intensive jobs will be automated, but at the end points, you know, how you manage these autonomous trucks, how you dispatch and load and manage these freights will be still controlled and managed by our skilled workers. I think that entire transportation infrastructure would look quite differently in a few decades compared to where it is today.
Thank you. That was a really good answer. Honestly, more than I was looking for. So just based on that, what you said there, that farther forward looking, a decade out, two decades out, how does Plus AI envision its role in this autonomy ecosystem? Will you kind of remain a pure software provider, platform partner, or do you guys think you'll be, you know, developing out into something broader than that?
Yeah, we intend to remain a top technology enabler for the industry. You know, our true success is really measured on how much better we can make our partners to be. You know, we look at, you know, how much additional revenue we can help our OEM partners make, right? How much money we can save for the end fleet customers, and how much more efficient we can help the entire industry to operate on. So I think our mission is to really apply the AI technology to make the world better, and that's why we named the company Plus AI, to symbolize the positive, the plus impact that we can make through utilizing the AI technology. And I think we will remain true to that.
Thank you, David. A little bit more just kind of on general public perception on something like autonomous driving, especially in the freight industry. What's one major or two misconception that you've found, say, retail investors or people in general to have about autonomous trucking that you wish they really understood better as you guys move forward with development?
Yeah, I think first of all, most people don't realize autonomous trucking is here today. It's no longer science fiction. I think that's the first misconception, or I wish people can understand better. Secondly, we are a new company, relatively speaking. Even though we have a history of almost 10 years, we are a leading player in the autonomous trucking industry. We have secured distribution through many of the major global OEMs, and they have the capability of deploying, tens of thousands of autonomous trucks at scale. So I think that's something that, we can, over time, we'll get it out there in terms of our position in the industry. And, I think that the last one is, for most of the retail investors, we're setting up the the go public transaction so that, you know, we can have the public investors really take advantage of this opportunity to have a really attractive entry point into an amazing industry that's going to have tremendous growth over the next few years.
Tim, is there anything from the tech side that you really wish people understood, but they might not at this point?
That is a great question. I think it's a little bit tongue in cheek, but I do want to call out that LiDAR matters. So for a heavy truck, it's not just some kind of entertainment thing like an assistance system on your car or something. It's a serious piece of safety equipment. And so at Plus, we don't scrimp on the safety equipment. We make sure that we have triple redundancy on everything. And one of the things I'm really looking forward to is seeing the accident statistics drop as we roll out our trucks. I think that's going to be something I can make me a happy old man.
Fair enough. And yeah, just like you said, it's not, we're not piloting, you know, RC cars with this. These are heavy, heavy trucks with a lot of inertia and momentum behind them when they're at speed. So it is really nice to hear that heavy focus on safety. Kind of on that vein, just back to, you know, the misconceptions that retail investors may have, kind of to more long-term shareholders, what's something that you might want them to keep in mind most as Plus AI moves through commercialization and scaling?
Yeah, I think, again, you know, a few points. One, there is huge demand for autonomous trucking now. Our technology works. And it's ready for commercialization. I hope all, you know, shareholders and public investors realize that, you know, time is now. And Plus AI, we have secured a scalable distribution with three of the world's most trusted and largest truck manufacturers. And we have a very capital efficient and sustainable and scalable model to deploy our technology and make a real impact for the industry.
And so I know, as you said, autonomous trucking's already here, but in terms of really widespread use and deployment of this, what does your realistic timeline for widespread deployment of driverless technology like this? What's that timeline kind of look like from here?
Yeah, so usually take twice as long as people think to have the initial deployment, but twice as fast once the deployment starts. That has been true for pretty much all technology over the last few decades. You know, we've been working on this for 10 years, but I think that, you know, this year is really the inflection point. So in 2026, we're working on commercial readiness. We are already working with our major OEM partners on that. I think the commercial deployment will start in 2027, and we're going to see, you know, major market penetration in the coming years.
I will really be looking forward to seeing that. Like I said, I grew up around a lot of trucking, and so, you know, kind of making things easier in that space and honestly safer is a pretty big interest of mine. So it was really cool to learn a lot about this and what you guys at Plus AI are doing. Before we move to send all of our listeners into the ether of their afternoons, is there anything that you really wanted to drive home that I maybe didn't get to during my questions that you just want all of the folks listening and all potential retail investors to know about what's going on at Plus AI and what you guys are doing?
No, I think we covered pretty much all of it. I think just to summarize and remind folks, you know, autonomous trucking is here. Plus AI is a leader in autonomous trucking, and we're going public, and we hope to have everybody on board to support our growth.
Tim, any final words from your point of view before we send folks off into their afternoons?
No, it's been fun. This was my first podcast ever, so thank you for that.
I had a pretty good time. I got a couple of giggles. Oh, go ahead.
I do have one thing. If you are an AI expert or know someone who is an AI expert, we're hiring. You can always use more great people.
Look at that. No, that would actually, can you imagine how cool it would be to get a job from an interview? That'd
Why
be
not?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, as always, everybody, thank you for listening in today. This was a pretty interesting one from my point of view. Again, I was completely ignorant about autonomous trucking. Where can people find more information, David, about Plus AI, about the industry as a whole? Where can they learn more?
Yeah, you can go to our website at plus.ai.
Beautiful. And I was surfing around that website before we had today's panel, and there is a ton of information. There's a lot to digest, but you guys are very thorough in those postings, so I thank you for that as well. Everybody, once again, thank you for joining us today. Again, this panel was sponsored by Plus AI, joined by two of their co-founders, and both of them are extremely knowledgeable in the space. So again, check out their website, plus.ai. Learn more about the investment opportunities and the timeline of going public, their development. Outside of that, David, Tim, thanks again for sponsoring this. And thanks again for all of this information, guys. I learned a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.